Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes this week's study.
Welcome to the program today, and currently we are involved in a detailed study of Matthew chapter 24, which gives us the signs of the second coming and predicts the events that will take place right before the Lord comes back. And currently this week we've been looking at Matthew 24 verse 15, which speaks of the abomination of desolation. This passage reads as follows: Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. In our studies thus far, we have looked at the three references where this phrase abomination of desolation appears in the book of Daniel. And in our last study, yesterday, we looked at the two important New Testament passages which add further detail to the meaning of this phrase and how this prophecy will be fulfilled in the last days. And today, we'll look at two more key passages, one from Revelation chapter 13 and one from Mark chapter 13, verse 14, which will emphasize the point. It says that the abomination of desolation is going to be standing in the holy place. What does he mean that it'll be standing in the holy place? Well, let's first look at Revelation chapter 13 to help us understand this. Starting there at verse 1, it says, Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. And just to simplify things for our study today, what is being predicted here is a 10-nation confederacy rising up, which will be ruled by one man who we refer to as the Antichrist. Verse 4 goes on to say, So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, which is the devil, and they worship the beast, saying, Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So the whole world is going to follow and worship after the beast or the Antichrist and his empire. Verse 5 says, And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue for 42 months. So what we see about this Antichrist is that he will blaspheme God, and he will be given authority to do so for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. I'm encouraged by that fact, because what we need to see is that God is in control of the tribulation period. He allows the Antichrist to rise up and have authority for 3.5 years. It is not that Satan is in control of the last days, but God allows Satan to work his scheme and work his plot, yet nevertheless, God is still in charge, and God is still in the process of bringing about his kingdom with authority, which will be established at the second coming of Christ. So Satan is no match for the Lord God Almighty. The Antichrist is no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are allowing them to work in the last days, really to manifest people's hearts. Because the Bible does say that in the last days, those who are wicked will do more wickedly there in the last days. So hearts are going to be manifested as to where their true allegiance is, either to the true Lord God or to the devil and to the Antichrist. And in the midst of that, God is using that to establish his kingdom. Verse 6 of Revelation 13 says, Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. And then he'll bring persecution upon the saints. And one of the ways he'll bring this persecution is that he will cause everyone to receive a mark upon their body, and that'll indicate their allegiance to him. And if they don't have that mark upon their body, they'll either be killed or will not be able to buy or sell or to be able to be involved in the economic process in the last days. Now, in reference to Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, where it says the abomination is going to be standing in the holy place, it's interesting, in Revelation 13, it also speaks of another beast that rises up, who we refer to as the false prophet. And in verses 14 and 15, it says the false prophet is going to do something very interesting, which has been a difficult passage to interpret. It reads this way. It says, And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So here it speaks of this image of the beast, or this image of the Antichrist is going to be made. Then verse 15 says, He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. I'm not exactly sure how that will take place. It's some sort of demonic power where this image appears to have life within itself, and it's going to cause those who will not worship this image of the beast or worship the Antichrist to be killed. And that, I believe, is what will be placed there in the temple or will stand in the holy place. I believe, first of all, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, the Antichrist himself will go in, stand in the holy place, stop the sacrificial system there in the middle of the tribulation. He will claim that he is God and then demand to be worshipped as God. But he's not going to sit there in the holy place forever and rule and reign from there. He's going to be out and about. So what will happen is an image is going to be created of the Antichrist, and then this false prophet will be able to give it power as if it comes alive, and that'll perpetuate this deception which has come upon the planets. And that's what will be standing there in the holy place, a person and then an image. And I think that's how you put these scriptures together. And then also in Mark chapter 13, it adds some interesting detail that we should look at this point. And this passage reads this way: "But when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain." So we see it's obviously a parallel passage to Matthew chapter 24. But it's interesting that when Mark speaks of the abomination of desolation, he uses the phrase standing where it ought not. And interesting enough, in relationship to the grammar, what we find here is that Mark uses a participle that is neuter, which could refer to something that is inanimate. In Matthew chapter 24, Matthew uses a participle which is masculine, which would refer to a person. So we see in Matthew 24, it seems to refer to a person, but in Mark chapter 13, it seems to refer to some sort of object. And I believe that's why the abomination of desolation is both the Antichrist himself going into the temple, demanding to be worshipped as God, and then also this image that would stay there and bring on that further deception. And one man, in describing Mark chapter 13, verse 14, that phrase, standing where it ought not, that it can be translated to mean usurping a place that is not his. So here is a reference to a person going into the temple and placing himself as authority there, but then also an image being placed there. That passage in Revelation chapter 13 has always troubled me about this image. But then as you put Mark 13 and Matthew 24 together with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it makes room for a person being in the holy place, but also something that is inanimate. Then we're given that added detail in Revelation 13 that the false prophet's able to cause this image to come to life and bring on this further deception. Now, one other thing in looking at Matthew 24 that I'd like to mention is that Luke chapter 21 is a parallel passage to Matthew 24. And there is a great debate within the church as to when Matthew 24 will actually be fulfilled. There are many in the body of Christ that are referred to as amillennial that believe that all these events took place in 70 AD when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple. And many of the things described in Matthew 24 literally could have taken place. But then there's other things that could only refer to the second coming of Christ. And Luke chapter 21 is a parallel passage to Matthew 24. And as you read Luke 21, it does seem to indicate that what is being described is the event that took place in 70 AD, especially there in Luke 21, starting there at verse 20, which says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." And so here we definitely see a correlation to Matthew 24, but also it does indicate that the armies are going to surround Jerusalem, and that's the main event of Luke chapter 21. And I would have to admit that in reading Luke chapter 21, it does seem to be a stronger resemblance to what took place in 70 AD, although there are references there that could only refer to the second coming. And I'd like to offer a possible suggestion as to a solution to this problem. It is possible that the abomination of desolation actually has three fulfillments. One by Antiochus Epiphanes, which is recorded in Daniel chapter 11. The second one that happened in 70 AD when the Romans destroyed the temple, which Luke would emphasize. But yet there's also a third fulfillment that will take place in the last days under the Antichrist. And the first two are prophetic and symbolic of what will take place on a much larger and greater scale in the last days. And this interpretation is suggested by Walter Wessel in an excellent work called The Expositor's Bible Commentary on the Book of Mark. I can't say with 100% confidence that this is what is taking place, but it does offer an interpretation which allows Luke to speak on its own as well as Matthew to speak on its own in relation to the end times events. And it is interesting that Josephus records that some of the believers, when the events of 70 AD were taking place, when the Romans were coming in and destroying the city, that they read Luke 21 and Matthew 24 to flee out of the city, and they took that at face value, and they did flee out, and their lives were spared. They understood this prophecy being fulfilled in their lifetime. They followed its advice, and they were spared the destruction and the edge of the sword. So it is possible that what is taking place, to combine all these references, is that the abomination of desolation actually has three fulfillments. The one through Antiochus Epiphanes in 165 BC, the one in 70 AD when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple, and then in the last day's events where the Antichrist will go into the temple, claim to be God, demand to be worshipped as God, and then set an image of himself up there which will perpetuate this false worship. Either way, we do know that Jesus said, when this event takes place, it's time to get out of Judea. It's time to flee for your safety and to know that 1290 days, that's when the end will take place. I hope the study this week has helped you understand in more detail the meaning of the abomination of desolation, because remember, Jesus said, whoever reads, let him understand. So it is our responsibility to study out the scriptures and to understand all that the Lord would give to us in relationship to end times prophecy. And if we could help you in your studies of end times or any other doctrinal issue or books of the Bible, we'd love to do so. And you could contact us by looking us up on the web at www.calvarylm.org or call us at our new toll-free number, and we'd be glad to help you in your studies of the Scripture at 1-877-941-LAMB. That's 1-877-941-LAMB.